CFO Radio is the only radio show that explores the passion of today's CFO and examines the innermost thoughts of the financial world, financial perspectives for today. Welcome to CFO Radio. I'm Lorraine Chilvers, and Lee Cantor will introduce our sponsors.
Yes, Lorraine, today's show is brought to you by Delaney Consulting, LLC, providing financial leadership to fast-growing companies, interim management, consulting services, and executive placement for the finance function. Visit DelaneyLLC.com and learn why 100% of clients describe Delaney's as outstanding and excellent. Also, SAP Business by Design, a fully integrated business management software solution designed for small to mid-sized companies that want the benefits of large-scale business applications without the need for a large IT infrastructure.
And today's radio show is going to be a little bit different. I am Lorraine Chilvers, the host, and we're going to be in a little bit of a different environment. I am going to be interviewed myself as somebody with 24 years of experience in finance and accounting. We are joined with Julie Jandel, Chief Marketing Officer of Delaney Consulting, and she's going to be interviewing me. So over to you, Julie.
Good morning, Lorraine. It's really a pleasure to do this, even though we work on a day-to-day basis. But it's certainly valuable for you to share your perspective with the audience, and I'd like to go ahead and jump into a few questions.
Great.
What do you see as the changing landscape for hiring in finance today?
Well, the finance function, I guess, of all the functions in a company, the CFO is going to have a more focused approach to costs, cost structure, and small impacts of detail of cost. We've got an unemployment rate that is higher than it has been for many, many years. The United States has a particularly well-balanced professional services firms such as the Big Four accounting that provide a very good pool of CFOs of tomorrow. One of the changes that has happened in a post-Sarbanes-Oxley world is the fact that the CPA auditor used to be able to be employed or hired by the client that they were at. That is now considered to be quite a distinct conflict of interest, and it's created a little bit of a challenge. So in some regard, the pool of talent doesn't quite come to this company in the same regard as it used to through the audit ranks, and perhaps that was more for the larger companies and the publicly held companies. But essentially, there are a lot of more well-educated professional accounting people out there. One of the impacts, however, on the unemployment right now is related to compensation, and we may get into that a little bit later. But I'm going to read a couple of excerpts from CFO Magazine, Julie, and their July issue talks about the perils of flex time as it impacts the finance function and how people would potentially aspire to be the CFO. And I'm quoting from here. In the deadline-driven pressure cooker world of corporate finance becoming more accommodating about where and when works get done, could a function that has been embodied in the traditional 9-to-5 and a chained-to-your-desk mentality, would it be open to staffers' requests to work remotely at odd hours or even part-time? And it quotes a couple of people, one of whom is Karen Seminara, who has nimbly gone up the corporate ladder within General Electric's NBC Universal division to become CFO of its Bravo network in about 7-year period. And she's done it all working either a 3 or 4 day working week. Second person that they quote is from Prudential Financial Division CFO Scott Kaplan, who's pushed his team to assess which positions were ripe for remote work and customized hours 2 years ago. Now more than a third of the finance staff in the company's individual life insurance finance unit uses some type of alternative work arrangement, most working from home at least 1 day a week. And there's a quote here, "I don't think that there's any role that cannot accommodate one day a week working from home, regardless of the company size or industry, says the CFO Kaplan. And that's what we're finding, Julie. We're finding that in today's environment, people really are focused on quality of work, and quality of life is very, very important, particularly in the finance function where deadlines are impacting the day-to-day role.
Very good. I definitely see what you're saying about some of the pros and cons, as well as balancing the quality of work and quality of life. But I did just want to clarify. So as you mentioned, in the post-Sarbanes-Oxley world, are you saying that most firms are seeing that CPA position being in-house versus being outsourced?
Actually, no, let me clarify that, Julie. That's a good question. And what used to happen is that the auditor, let's say from one of the big four or one of the smaller firms, would actually be working on the audit, let's say once or twice a year. And that gave them access, let's say, to Company X. And while they were working at Company X, they got information and knowledge about the operations, the business units, how things worked. They were clearly looking at the financial statements, often in the area of financial analytics as well as preparation of financials. So your auditor very often, very quickly, got a very strong sense of how to prepare the financials, the challenges, the pitfalls, and so forth. And then very often what happened was the company may recruit that person to become their employee. So now being the employee, and in a post-Sarbanes-Oxley world, what has happened is that that is no longer a valid option. And so for finance functions, often you used to recruit the controller or the VP or the director from within your audit ranks. You can't do that anymore.
I see. Well, thank you for that clarification. I'd like to jump into another question. The labor supply is forging changes toward outsourcing more and more. How do you see outsourcing impacting the finance function?
Well, that's a good question, Julie. I think that finance function isn't quite on the forefront of the outsourcing world. We've seen globally the IT function, network, maintenance, infrastructure, and IT operations for perhaps now a decade has been outsourced to countries that have highly educated but lower cost people. In the last 3-5 years, we've seen the legal environment doing the same thing. CPA firms very much have a very similar function and organizational structure to the legal partner-driven firms. Very often today, your legal attorney may actually be doing research in India, in Argentina, in the UK. And these are well-educated people, and they, as long as they speak the language and communicate, they do research from the internet, and it doesn't matter where they are. There's been that fear in the finance function that if the person isn't there, how do I know that they're working for me and doing the right thing, as well as the fear of confidentiality over financial information. In today's world, that is becoming less and less a fear, and I see that the projections that are taking national views are more towards the fact that the finance function will be outsourced. Big companies locally in Georgia have done that. Coca-Cola, IBM, Georgia Pacific have moved towards outsourcing some of their functions. When I was at Verizon MCI, we outsourced some of our functions for billing to other companies, and now we're seeing that actually being outsourced to India and some of those low-cost countries. I think that it is a next step in evolution that we will have other functions in the accounting and finance being outsourced. And very candidly, that's what we do at Delaney. We support that on an interim need. And I see that that full-term outsourcing, maybe for the general ledger role, may be where the future is coming.
Well, you know, given that trend, growing trend of outsourcing the finance function, what do you see as being some of the key advantages for doing that?
key advantages anytime that you have a specialist need, and I would say a specialist in accounting and finance definitely falls into that parameter. The debate that you have is, do I hire for somebody that has the specialist knowledge in all of the areas that I need in taxes, in internal audit, in controls, in treasury, in Sarbanes-Oxley, or if that's not important to you, perhaps more controls, policy, procedure. It's very difficult in today's accounting environment where it's becoming so highly technical to have one person have that knowledge. And so you are finding that you need a specialist, perhaps for revenue recognition or to help you make sure that your taxes are correct and so forth. It is becoming more and more of a technical role, looking at contracts, understanding the legal ramifications of what the salespeople are doing is perhaps just one example. But as you have those specialist needs, or you have a peak demand, for example, your year end, your budgeting cycle, or preparing for an acquisition, those are often times that companies come to Delaney to help assist getting the people that will take on that challenge that the company has. And the challenge may be specialist skill set, or the challenge may be that they don't have the capabilities to be able to let their existing people take on those projects, one more of a supply and demand.
Okay, so it really is, you know, bringing in an expert to hit the ground running.
Yes, and very often you find that that person that you bring in has a very broad, very detailed level of skill set. These tend to be people that have worked in the function for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and then they've made the switch to going into consulting, perhaps away from that more corporate, one office-based environment. So they've got a broad base of experience in not only all the accounting functions or a broad base of accounting functions, but the broad base of industries. And so they can bring a lot of critical thinking in a challenged environment where critical thinking and speed is going to get you there quicker, faster, and better.
Very good. As the CEO of Delaney Consulting, you provide interim CFO and controllers to businesses, to companies. What are you seeing in the market in terms of the demand for an interim CFO and controller?
We're actually seeing that on the increase. I have been in the industry either as an executive hiring consultants or as the consultant myself. I guess my first consulting role, if I exclude my audit days, was maybe the late 90s. And since that time, I've seen it grow in leaps and bounds. The companies such as Delaney that provide the CFO, the leader, and the person that's going to sign off on the financials, that is perhaps a newer element of what is now in demand. But as companies go through very big challenges, the economic environment being one, very often they need that on a temporary basis to overcome a hurdle, to help them go raise capital, to help them create new forms of a business plan, to help them go through an acquisition. And we're seeing that the demand is growing. And the demand is coming from multiple places. It tends to be fast-growing companies that might be privately held, that are perhaps have an owner and founder combined in the one person, and they perhaps have outsourced to a bookkeeper or a CPA or a small department of people, and now they need to bring on a full-time controller or full-time CFO, but only for a certain period until they've reached that next stage of growth. And then they might need a different set of person with a different set of skills. But we're also seeing that in the Fortune 1000, where they are going through peaks and valleys, and they perhaps have more flexible working environment for their own employee base. And that might create the opportunity for, let's say, the divisional CFO or controller to go to France to work in that subsidiary over there, or to go to Argentina. And they have a 6, 9, 12-month need that they need to fill. But that person's going to come back.
Okay. What do you see as the impact of current conditions on CFO compensation?
You know, that's a bit of a challenging one. I think compensation, more broadly speaking, has been on the decline. It's perhaps taking me back to my economics days of supply and demand. There are a lot of very, very good people out of work due to no fault of their own. And some of the larger companies, I believe, behind closed doors are actually beginning to recognize that they may have made too many and too deep of a cut. But the impact has been that compensation has moved the needle a little bit downwards. What we're also finding is that many of the good, highly skilled people are actually using the time of being unemployed till finding that next position. They're actually going out and getting a better education. And so when they're re-emerging back into the workforce, they are better educated. A lot of things have changed in the finance and accounting arena in the last year to 2 years, and they are re-honing their skills. So not only are we finding that you can potentially get better people at a slightly reduced cost, but that you can also get people that have spent a lot of time retooling themselves.
That's a really good point, and I think it's one that's probably applicable to a lot of professions, not just the CFO. Very good. Would you say, in terms of the interim CFO positions that Delaney Consulting provides, are they affected the same way in terms of compensation, or is that at the onset an anticipation or an expectation of a different form of compensation structure because they are interim?
Yes, there's a combination of those things happening. What I would say is that many of the executive staffing firms such as Delaney are now seeing that rather than in an environment, let's say in a particular area, they may have had three or four key competitors, now they have potentially 100,000 unemployed people that are building their own network. And one of the things that we've seen in CFOs and vice president controller levels is that people that had never thought about going into business or being their own consultant today are doing so in order that they can get temporary work while they're looking for that placement. And what that has done is, I would say, twofold in terms of impacting the marketplace for the professional of an interim finance person is that, number one, people are using their network more widely. And that can be good, but it can also be they've opened themselves to greater risk. Their buddy at the golf club may be a great buddy and on paper really, really terrific, but may not have the specific skills for the culture in which they're about to go into. They may not have the right specific skill sets, but that person feels, well, they'll kind of do. And you may not get the full 100% productivity. While from a compensation perspective, you've now essentially cut out the middleman, thereby you often find that the end person is going to be paid more, and there's no middle ground cost or overheads that are being incurred. But what often happens is that person may be on for a shorter period of time because they perhaps didn't fulfill the full needs, and that the disappointment can then become one of a legal challenge for the company to be able to either remove that person or replace them. And sometimes in the long run, it can cost more.
Okay. If I were a CEO looking to hire a CFO or a controller on an interim basis, what would I need to know?
Well, firstly, if you're looking to hire somebody on an interim basis, you normally expect them to get off the ground running very fast, day one, week one, month one. And so typically speaking, you're going to expect or be directed towards hiring somebody that has a broad base of skill set, perhaps more so than you might normally have hired. And what that may lead you to have is perhaps a higher level of experience in order that there's not the downtime that you would normally expect. You need somebody that's been in multiple scenarios, multiple situations, that is a quick thinker, that is a quick learner, and can adapt to the people aspect of people getting to know you very quickly and you getting to know them very quickly. And it takes a very good leader as well as a very strong finance person to do that. But at the same time, be prepared that you will pay a premium for that person. People that are on an interim basis, and that is their career, if you like, they expect to have downtime in between engagements. And so essentially, in order to bring that person on, you are going to be paying a slight premium.
Okay. What do you see in the future for this trend in CFO and controller outsourcing?
I see an increase for multiple different reasons. One is that from the sourcing perspective, from the employee perspective, many of the companies that have laid off people's parents, brothers, sisters, wives, husbands, the 20-year-old today and those that are coming into the ranks tomorrow have less trust of that employer, no matter what company name or affiliation they have. They have seen people essentially after 10, 15, 20 years of work be laid off, and it's been very damaging to their family life. And so there is an element of distrust, but more importantly, as all realms of company functions become outsourced, for lack of a better term, or become more temporary. I heard a recent statistic that said that the people that are being born today, the children that are being born today, by the time that they are 38, they will have had 14 employers. And that number just is so dramatic to me. You don't have the situation where straight out of college you might have your first employer for 5, 8, 10, 12 years.
Right.
The junior ranks today are looking at a 2 to 3 year scenario as being long term. And what we're actually seeing is when people are hiring on the permanent side, which we also do at Delaney, we are an executive placement firm for permanent employees as well. And we see that the HR function or the hiring manager is now actually saying, I need them to commit to a 3-5 year period. And of course, you can't have anybody commit, particularly when the environment is what it is today. And so
right.
There has been a very big impact.
That's a staggering statistic, and I'm inclined to research it even more. But thank you for sharing that. We talked a little bit about, what a CFO or CEO should look for when hiring an interim CFO or controller. What do you see as the ideal skill set for an interim CFO or controller that, wants to put themselves out there like that? What is the best combination of skills that, will work for them and work for the companies that they go into?
They need to be adaptable. They need to understand about change. They need to be very, very comfortable with all aspects of what I would describe as people liaison, not necessarily people management, because often as a consultant, you may be an individual contributor rather than managing a department of 10 or 20 or 100 or whatnot, although those roles do exist and we fill those as well. But funnily enough, one of the challenges in taking a CFO or a controller in away from that permanent position and into that consulting rank, after about a month, they often come back and they say, but they're not taking my recommendations. They're not doing what I think is the right role. And switching from being the leader of an organization where you get to make the decisions and you drive the path for the finance function to being one who's recommending from that view and perspective that you're in that there is a right path to take, the consultant mm-hmm. needs to recommend 2 or 3 paths and allocate risks associated with each of those paths rather than to present and make a decision. But interestingly enough, one of the things that I do at Delaney and have done for many years in my career, our recruiters, we actually take a long time to help people with their interviewing skills because it becomes a very high need for you to wow somebody in an interview because you typically only get the one slot. You typically only get the introduction to the company. You don't get 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 interviews of different people. And so mm-hmm. they need to be very good at coming across in a manner where they understand what their skills are, but you also understand your limitations. The worst thing for a consultant is to oversell what they can do, and right. It is very, very important to make sure that you help manage your skills and the positive side, but what you have perhaps not developed in your career and knowing that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very interesting. I think one of the things that I heard among all of those was, how important it is to really do that due diligence to qualify and prep the person going into the role, because every organization does have a unique culture and unique set of requirements.
Yes,
so it's
yes.
Certainly valid to take that time. Well, we're just about running out of time, so I want to ask you one last question, and that is, what is your CFO tip of the month?
I always ask my guests this question, and now that the question's been posed on me, I'm not quite sure where to focus it. But I think from my career, I would perhaps focus on the one area, and that is related to controls. A finance function runs well if you have the right controls and that you do the right thing. And my background has led me into companies where the right thing was not done, and people have been charged with embezzlement and fraud and jail time and all those different things. I think putting in the controls, making sure that you have effective and efficient controls, making sure that you understand what is motivating your finance staff. If anybody that has access to the bank account has motivation for purposes of money, you've got to wonder about them. So not only with the realm of controls and making sure that your accounting, the reconciliations are done and that you've got timely, accurate financial information, but making sure that you've got adaptability for the unknown. In the finance function, the changing environment of a salesperson taking a different course or an operational purpose being redirected for capital spend, you've really got to be very adaptive. So making sure that not only have you got the controls, but you're not so limited in those controls that you can't budge from that view.
Very good. Well, like I mentioned, we are out of time now, and I just want to thank you, Lorraine, very much for allowing me to interview you, and this has been quite a pleasure, and I think you have shared some wonderful words of wisdom with our audience. So thank you very much.
And thank you to you, Julie. I appreciate it. And as a last thank you, what we would like to do on CFO Radio today is to thank our sponsors, Delaney Consulting, providing CFO and controllers to Fortune 1000 and small businesses. Please go to DelaneyLLC.com. And then also to SAP Business by Design, the software as a service solution for small to medium-sized companies. And for more information on that, go to www.sap.com. This and other thought leadership about today's CFO is available right from your computer at cforadio.com. If you are a CFO and would like to be a guest on our show, please contact us via the web. And thank you for listening to CFO Radio. This is Lorraine Chilvers signing off until next time.